hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored. Send his lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the
wants to talk today out there. That's a good thing. It's good to fellowship in God's house. I have the privilege of bringing the missions moment to you this morning, and as you might have noticed, these were fun to put up. It is Missionary Sunday, and there's a sense of pride I have in putting up these flags when I realize that about 14 or 15 of these flags represent countries that people in this congregation have gone to in missions. So I think you need to recognize that this is a truly missions-based church. And that just, I know it blesses me, and I hope that certainly blesses you as you look to these flags in front of you. I have to honestly say, Sister Linda, we don't have a South African flag, but I did my best to put all of our African flags up front for you this morning. We have, I think, Kenya and Ethiopia, a few others there, but we'll work to get a South African one to join our ranks. But I wanted to take a minute and talk about faith promise. And as I do that, let's see, Tyler and Jennifer, can I have you come? Yes, I picked on you. See, Mark moves too slow. So I have to find young legs. If you could just pass those out as I speak to each one. As we talk about our faith promise weekend, I just wanted to, this brochure spends a little bit more time talking about where your faith promise giving goes. And I first of all want to thank you for your faithfulness in the past year. We had an amazing response last year, and I'm just praying that the Lord has put missions again on your heart. The goal of a promise is just that. It's a pledge to promise to fulfill over the course of the year. And I would just ask that you prayerfully think about how God might stretch you a little bit to take care of missions. Our world mission needs this year primarily go to the World Evangelism Fund, and I know Sister Linda spoke last night here at our potluck about the impact that those funds have and how they enable people to continue missions around the world. We also, though, support two adopted children. We work to support local programs as well, whether that's the backpack program we have done in Nixa or our food drives. Missionaries that come to speak, can collecting is another way you can support missions. For all those that drink out of cans as opposed to bottles, we do collect those cans here at the church, and I think just last year we put about $50 back in the missions fund just through aluminum alone. So as you're going on your picnics, as you're going out on your outings, have a bag in your car, put the cans in your car, put a bag at home, put your cans in the bag at home, bring them to church. We get to smush them and put them in and take them over to the aluminum recycling as well. One of the big things, and we saw this last year, we benefited specifically in this church from the scholarships that come through our missions group. We were able to, I believe, send 5 different people to Joplin with those funds. So your dollars are impacting even those in your own congregation. And I think there's something exciting about getting particularly young people excited for missions early. Once you catch that bug, you're addicted. And you might not be in a position to go. You might not be in a position to travel. But you have the ability to pray, and you have the ability to support financially the work that goes on here. And if I assure you, if you're not sure how that would work, if God wants you to go, he will find a way, and he'll make all those variables fall together. So if you're thinking that that's something you want to do, take that plunge and take that step. We are commanded to go and spread the gospel, and it was by God's design that you are here today. And I am convinced that you have the opportunity to commit to support to his work and the work through NCSA Church of the Nazarene. We are a church that gives almost 12 to 13% of our budget goes towards missions. And that to me is a testimony to your faithfulness. And it's exciting to me. Again, Sister Linda was sharing a story last night of how just one person touched so many lives. Your dollars can touch thousands of lives for all eternity. So I'm excited that Linda's here. If you're not hooked up online or through the mail with updates about missions, you are welcome to do that, and I can help you in terms of how to do that. Vicki is your new NMI president, and I'm excited about that. She ultimately had other plans and had to be out of town this weekend. That gives me one more opportunity to stand before you, though. And the work of missions comes alive, and it comes alive through the investment that you make in its success. I shouldn't be, but I'm always amazed at how God works his miracles. And I'm working forward to what Linda has to say to us today and about how God is working in missions in Africa. Thanks.
For ushers would come this morning, we want to receive our morning tithes and offerings. You will have an opportunity at the conclusion this morning to place your pledge cards, so do not put your pledge cards in the offering plates now. You can pray over those and fill them out through the course of the presentation. We'll receive those at the conclusion this morning. But if you have your regular offering tithes ready to go, we appreciate that so very, very much. Pastor Don and Ruth were just a little under the weather this morning, so he asked me if I would do this. And so we're glad to be here this morning and to receive as God has blessed each and every one of you. Brother Dan, we're glad that you're home and off the road this weekend. Would you come and take this mic and just ask God's blessing over the offering this morning and receive my tithes and offerings?
God, as we come before you, we thank you for your awesomeness and your willingness to forgive our sins, Lord. We ask that you take our tithes and our offerings and that you bless them, Lord, and multiply them just as the seeds of the ground. Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us, and that we should ever be so willing to do your will in our lives. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.
the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious healing.
Thank you so much for all of your prayers for me in particular. Went to the doctor on Friday, the cardiologist, and they said that the stent is good and they think everything is good. They took me off all restrictions and they want me just to continue kind of the course of action we've been on in the last year. So thank you so much for your prayers. Heart attacks are not much fun, but they come and go. And then we move along. And so at any rate, that I feel very blessed, and God indeed has touched me. And I think what I went through and experienced in a brief moment, and Randy has been fighting this battle for months, and it makes me almost embarrassed. But we continue to pray for Randy and his battle with the heart attacks that he has had. And he got a good report that the other day things have not worsened any, that indeed they've stabilized. And so they're going to continue to trust God for new strength and progress now. So that's a great report. We're so thankful for that. We continue to pray for several of our families that are battling still with cancer in their life. Got to spend a little time with my brother-in-law Max yesterday, and he continues, his arms and legs continue to get weaker and be less functioning than what he was used to. And so continue to pray for them, in particular Lane Kuntz, others that indeed are in our bulletin that are battling this. And we're glad that Ted is with us this morning. You can see his hands bundled up there a little bit. He had a little work, surgical work done there. We're thankful that God continues to touch and heal and help him. Pray for speedy recovery of his hand. Continue to remember our upcoming district assembly and election of a new district superintendent. Amber will appreciate your prayers for a vacation Bible school. And there are several that are out sick this morning. And so just pray one for another. And if you haven't seen someone, you might just send a note and say, hey, we missed you. Look forward to seeing you soon. And encourage them. And just let them know that you noted that they were not amongst us in our regular family gathering this morning. Continue to remember Lane Mendenhall, who's had quite the battle. A very tough time this past week. But we believe that God indeed is able to touch. He's stabilized and hopefully moving in a good direction now. And so just continue to remember them in your prayers as well. And then I pray this morning for Sister Linda, as she would come to us and share her heart. I was excited at the passion that I sensed last night as she shared with us what God is doing and how he's using her, and indeed the stories of lives that God has been changing on the field that she's involved with, and so we'll look forward to that presentation this morning. Let's stand together as we prepare our hearts for prayer. The altars are always open to you, and we encourage you to make use of them as you have need. This is your time to come. Lay your burdens down. Lift your praises up. Nobody's going to come to you. It's your time between you and your God as we prepare for prayer this morning. So let's sing together once again, and then we'll lift our voices.
Lord, I give you every storm. When my spirit's weak and worn, give me grace to trust.
Father, we are indeed grateful for the opportunity to be in your house this day. We know that that this week holds many challenges and opportunities. And so, Father, we just want to be refreshed and replenished in our spirit and our soul. Lord, help us that as we go out, that we indeed will shine with the joy of Jesus, and that you, Father, will, through the infilling of your Holy Spirit, spill out of our lives into and onto the lives of others that we meet this week. May they see Jesus very clearly in us. And Lord, we pray that we would just present you in such a way that you continue to draw people to you. And Lord, if we have the opportunity perhaps to be in contact with or to share with someone who does not know Jesus Christ this week, help us to be unashamed and help us to be kind and gracious and have the right words to say and wisdom when to say them and how to say them. Lord, use us to minister your love to the world that is out there before us. Then, Father, we'll go on Tuesday to Carthage and the Credentials Board. We'll meet with many candidates who are studying for ministry. And we pray, Father, that you would lead, guide, and direct as we try to give guidance and direction to the educational process and to following the leading of the Holy Spirit and the call to ministry. We thank you for these lives that have yielded themselves to the call. And Father, today, as Sister Linda would come to us, we know that there are many that, just as there are many that are called to preach the gospel and many that are called into a full-time ministry of some sort, that you also call people into missions ministry, just as she shared about her call last night and about the call of this man they call Trumpy. And Father, we pray that today, young and old alike, as we hear about the work of missions, that, Lord, if that still small voice would speak to us this morning and say, I have a task for you to do, that whatever it might be, whether it's to pray or to give or whether it's to surrender our lives and maybe go on to a foreign field, Father, whatever that case might be, that we would be open and obedient to whatever you would say to us and ask of us this day. We pray, Father, that you would give us wisdom as we commit to pledges and faith promise. Lord, we know it's been a challenging economy for some time now. But Lord, help us just to be obedient to you and help us to continue to be a blessing to the missions program of the Church of the Nazarene. Father, we thank you for the monies that were given this past year and for what has been accomplished through that giving. Now, Lord, we pray that most of all that you would be lifted up and that you would have your will in your way today and all that's said and done. We pray, Father, that you would bless our people as they have encountered some adversity along the way, that you indeed would bring healing and help into their lives. We pray, Father, that you would bless them physically, financially, spiritually, emotionally, whatever it might be, Father, that you indeed, that they would realize that Jesus is the answer. He is all we need. And Father, have your will and your way today. We pray, God, that you would just continue to make your presence known and that you would walk these aisles and amongst the pews and that you would fill this sanctuary with your holy presence this day, that we might be open and honest to you, that the devil might be defeated, that the enemies and that the forces of darkness would not keep us from being obedient, but that this might be a free and open place that we indeed would be able to answer the Holy Spirit this morning. We give you praise for it all in Jesus' wonderful and powerful and precious name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. In just a few moments, Sister Linda Broughton will come and minister to us from a mission's heart and challenge us this morning that we too might answer the call however God would extend it to us. So this morning, we will receive your pledges at the conclusion this morning, so be praying about that. But Linda comes to us from Johannesburg and has had several tasks there. And one of the ones that was exciting to us, because we've tried to keep you advised about some things, is she has had some connection through the years with the presentation of the Jesus film. And that is not her current responsibilities, and she'll kind of catch you up and update you this morning as to that and what God has laid on her heart. But she's had several administrative connections. And one of the things that was really exciting to me as a pastor last night was as she spoke to us at dinner, she spoke to us about how God called her to do what she thought she might be doing as a missions work, literally her missions job, but he called her to a different place in the work of missions, but called her to do this other task through her local church. Can you believe that? That God could actually use you in your local church? And so that was exciting for me as a pastor. Indeed, the work still gets done through God's ordained organization. And so I know you'll look forward to hear from Sister Linda this morning. I want to share a song with you this morning that I think, no matter what the language is, it's a very comforting message this morning. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in Him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. Could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cares for me.
Oh, how much He cares for me.
Every day He comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand His words of love. But I'll never know just why He came to save me, till someday I see His blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cares for me.
Oh, how much He cares for me.
Oh, how much He cares.
Dear Lord, I will go where You want me to go, be what You want me to be, and do what You want me to do, even if it means going to faraway Africa.
As the editor of Out of Africa, I'm constantly involved with stories, stories of the Church of the Nazarene in Africa. I, too, have a story, how God called me here as a missionary and how He sustains me. This is what I want to share with you. When I was a young girl of 8, a missionary came to our church one Sunday morning and spoke of Africa. That's when I sensed God calling me to be a missionary to the people of this continent. The words of the missionary created pictures in my mind of young children, and not only kids, but people of all ages dying without ever hearing about Jesus. I will go where you want me to go. Do what you want me to do, and be who you want me to be.
Even if it means going to faraway Africa.
But it would be 40 years later before this calling became a reality. After college, I worked in the corporate world, enjoying travel, successes, and promotions, always seeking God's direction. But I would wonder if I'd misheard God as a child. Did He really call me to be a missionary? After 20 years in the business world, I joined an international charitable organization to work with the children victims of the Chernobyl nuclear disaster. For 5 years, I lived in Minsk, Belarus, visiting hospitals and orphanages and baby homes, providing food and medical supplies, and helped organize a choir of children. It was only in 1998 that I realized that God had been preparing me all these years for His work in Africa. By then, missionary roles were changing and assignments were open to people with management and administrative backgrounds and skills. I sensed God say to me, "I did call you as a child of 8 to be a missionary, and I called you to Africa. You did not misunderstand." I've been in Africa for 10 years now, contributing to the ministry of the church and telling the people about Jesus. I've been privileged to work with Jesus Film teams, resourcing them with discipleship materials, and with pastors throughout Africa through the Books for Pastors project. Sometimes an office-bound missionary struggles with issues of significance. Am I making an impact? Is my work getting through to anyone? It's in the local church where I worship that God has given me a very personal ministry, one that I can see and hear and feel immediate to the needs of the people around me. The Davidsonville Church is determined to reach the people of their community for Christ.
This is the Princess Crossing Squatter Camp, and there's a lot of displaced people that live here.
It gives a sense of really making a difference and changing something in someone's life.
People are coming, people are eating, and our hearts are being blessed. May the Lord richly bless you. And Stelita, you can say amen to that.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, this is a more mentorship program for them, but what we're trying to do is to instill leadership qualities within them so that it doesn't end with them, so that they can carry the message to others as well, to their peers, to their friends at school.
Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. The work that is accomplished on the Africa region is extensive, and I am so blessed to be a part of it. Sometimes I accomplish my work from behind a computer screen, working in an office environment. At other times, I'm interacting with people of all ages and situations in life. To hold a child, give a hug, a word of praise, say a prayer, and just be a friend. I pray that God will use my attitude of love and service as a witness to the people of Africa, that God wants to use all of us to bring glory to Him. If God can use me, He can use anyone. Jesus,
I want to be like you. I'll be who you want me to be. I'll go where you want me to go, and I'll do what you want me to do.
I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I bring you greetings this morning from the church in Africa. You saw the Davidsonville church where I attend. And when I first went there, and they still do it, when they greet everyone on Sunday morning, they would say, "This is your Father's house. Feel free in the house of the Lord." Now, the first time they said that, I looked around to see what that meant. Because you know what? When we say feel free, anything can happen. But I thought about that. Do you know the Bible says when Jesus sets you are free indeed. So we are in our Father's house this morning. So I hope you feel that sense of great freedom that only comes from knowing Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We are a privileged people as Christians to have Christ in our lives. Well, the year was about 1994, and I was in Belarus, in the former Soviet Union, and we at City Hope were getting a large shipment of commodities from USAID, from USDA, actually, the Department of Agriculture, and we were also working with different humanitarian organizations and with Gerber Foods. We were getting baby food and other things were coming in because of the contamination as a result of that Chernobyl nuclear accident. And this particular day was in March, so we're in the same hemisphere. And it was cold. And we'd had some snow. We were, our staff, there were about eight of us that had rented a taxi for a drive to a city about 2 hours away called Molodechno, and we were going to look at a large warehouse. Now, in my position at City Hope, I was always supposed to sit in the front seat of the car next to the driver. But I had learned that I didn't like that seat, because if I'm sitting in the front seat, I could see the road. And most of the time, the roads didn't have lines in them. And you would find that it was almost like you were going head on at this other vehicle, or you'd be way over on the other side. And I was never comfortable in that seat. So I had just asked my assistant, Volodya, to sit in that seat. And I would always find myself behind the driver, so my vision was blocked. It was safer that way. Well, on this particular day, there were several of us going, Volodya, along with Sergei, our warehouse manager. Galina was with us. She was our food service director. And we had two doctors, Dr. Tamara and Dr. Tanya, were going. And we were all going to go check out this warehouse. We had commodities, about 14 miles of railroad cars that was bringing food in. So we're going along, and it was cold, and the staff started singing songs in Russian. And after a while, I noticed that the car, the taxi was a taxi, which is now I get my words mixed up. A van, okay? They used vans for taxis in Belarus, the same as they do in South Africa. But I noticed that the taxi was just like swerving over to the side of the road, and it was like swerving, and then I would hear this clicking sound. So I said to Volodya, what's happening? And he's watching the driver, and he just started laughing. And he said, he's chasing the birds along the side of the road and flashing his lights at them. And I'm like, oh my word, this is crazy. Well, about that time, Galinda says, Miss Broughton, why don't you sing a song for us? What is sing something that you know? And I thought, what do I know? I know I'm in a vehicle where the driver won't turn on the heat because he thinks it's going to use up the fuel. We have a mad driver that's chasing the birds, and who knows if we will make it to Maladach, no? But then there was something that I knew, and it was the reason that I was in that taxi that day. And so I started singing the song, I'm going to need your help if you know it. Will you sing it with me? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. I finished, and Galina said, oh, that's a beautiful song. Will you teach it to us? And so the rest of the way to Maladachno, we sang over and over and over again, yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. This is a country that for 70 years had been under communist rule, where you could not go to church other than Orthodox. And there was so much oppression, and through that time, I had an opportunity to witness 17 of my staff pray to accept Jesus, because they learned, yes, Jesus loves me. It was May of 1999, and now I'm in Africa. And it was actually my first trip outside of Johannesburg. And I had been asked, I was in the communications office, and I was asked to go with one of our staff, who was a videographer, to video the graduation ceremony at Acorn Hook, which is our technical college. It's just next to Kruger National Park, about 6 hours away from Johannesburg. And So we left the metropolis of Johannesburg, 3.8 million people, and as we were going along the road, it's just these beautiful rolling hills. If you've never, I would say, South Africa is an amazingly beautiful country, but we were going across those rolling hills, and as we went, I was noticing those informal settlements along the road. You know, during some of you may be aware of apartheid, which was a system of government which was primarily white rule. It was really suppressed the blacks in Africa. But in 1994, Nelson Mandela was elected the first democratic president of South Africa. And when Nelson Mandela became president, he opened up the borders. Before that, all of the borders were closed. You could only get into South Africa if you had a proper visa. But with Nelson Mandela, he opened the borders. And so now, when you visit South Africa, as you go along, just out of nowhere, you will find a cluster of shacks. They're called informal settlements, and there are refugees from all over Africa that have now come to South Africa for a better life. It's the most affluent country in Africa, so people come there. And I was just thinking about the contrast, and in my church, you saw us at an informal settlement. We minister to three different informal settlements at the Davidsonville Church of the Nazarene. It's very much a huge reality. But because of the borders being open and the number of refugees, that's resulted in very high unemployment. It's very difficult for people to get work. There's xenophobia that comes as a result of that and a lot of other things. And as we were going along and looking through, seeing those informal settlements, and then as we went through the rolling hills, I thought about David Livingston. And David Livingston, who was a medical student from Scotland, and he heard missionary, South Africa missionary, pioneer missionary, Robert Moffat, was on home assignment back in England. And he talked about how from his porch on his house, looking northward, I have seen the smoke rise. From villages that have never heard of Jesus Christ. At different times, the smoke of a thousand villages. The smoke of a thousand villages. And you know, David Livingston could not get those words out of his head. He went to Moffat and he asked him, "Would I do for Africa?" And he then gave the rest of his life, and he opened the whole heart of Africa to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you think about that call, it was because of the nature of the gospel itself, the freedom that the gospel brings, the hope that the gospel brings, that the hope that we have in Christ, as well as the need for the gospel, that is what drove him. And as we were going across that countryside, I thought, that's why I'm here. That's why I am in Africa. Because of the reality of the gospel, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send a son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved from condemnation, saved from eternal consequences in hell. And this is the hope of the gospel. This is why I am in Africa. And I thought, wow, I just thank the Lord for just bringing that to my mind early, to just keep that always before me. Why am I here? We were at Acorn Hook Theological College. We filmed the graduation, and I really noticed firsthand some of the aftermath of apartheid, of that system. The graduation ceremony was really amazing, and you can stop with the animals. the graduation ceremony was really great. The students, when they would get their certificate, their moms would come marching down the aisle singing, and they would do, okay, some of you have been in Africa, so you know the noise that they make. So if I make it, you won't jump. It's, you understand that noise? You know it? Okay. But that's what those moms do, and they just dance down that aisle, and then they grab their kids, and they hug them, and they kiss them. Now, I think we've got some, like, graduate-age guys over here. How would you like that if your mom did that to you at the graduation? And now she's going to add the noise. I will teach you after service. But anyway, it was just amazing. But then we had lunch, and there was a special place for the special guests in a nice house. And I said, well, we're the students. Well, that was interesting because the students and their families were in another hall. It was a long hall. It's a wooden plank table. There was no tablecloths. There was no silverware. The food was being cooked from those open fires outside in the great big huge pots. They were eating with their fingers, and I thought, wow, this is the difference. We looked at the quarters where the students live, and they have cement floors, no carpets, and just rags on the windows for curtains. And so I asked the rector's wife about the living conditions of the students, and she said, you need to understand most of these students are from rural villages where they live in huts. And the floors are made out of mud and manure. So this, to them, is luxury. The aftermath of apartheid is still there. But anyway, later on, we were going. We had an amazing time. The students sang this one song, and I still sing it all the time. It's, Jesus is coming soon. Look around. And I think of that. Jesus is coming soon. Look around. Who are you taking with you? Look around. Who are you taking with you? Well, then after that, we were going down to Kruger National Park. I didn't struggle like this last night. Anyway, and on the road to Kruger, there's a lot of potholes. Okay, Pastor, I think we need to have a word of prayer right now.
You're in control of all things. We heard even last week how you calm the storms.
Yeah.
Father, we believe this morning.
Thank you. Claim that victory. So we're on the road. I'm talking about roads this morning. Between Acorn Hook and Kruger. And thank you. Okay, I'll try one. Okay, great. And we had just gone through a village. Now, when I went to South Africa, they said, be really careful being out at night because the carjacking is really high. That South Africa is the capital of the world for carjacking. And they were saying, you know, people do all kinds of things to get your car. Well, we'd gone through a village, and I swerved it from missing one pothole, and I hit another. And we were just going up a hill, and it was like, it's all over. I knew I had a flat tire. And I'll make this story short. Within a few minutes, my friend Jessica said, I'll change the tire. Well, and I said, I'll pray. You try to change the tire, I'm going to pray. And I prayed that God would send just the right people along to help us. And within seconds, a car came over the hill and turned around, pulled in behind me. And the driver got out, and then he reached back in, and I thought, oh, no, he's going for a gun. He's going to take our car. But he got a hazard sign out, and he put it in the road. And then a few minutes later, a Baki came by. A Baki is a pickup truck. And the two guys started talking to each other in Afrikaans. And he got out of the truck, but he was carrying a pistol. I was like, ooh, this is interesting. Anyway, so I started telling them, we're missionaries. And this is where we've been, and this is what we're doing, and we were just going into Kruger. We needed to get there really quick. We just had one morning to spend at Kruger. And the guy said, no, we're going to help you. You know, we'll just change the tire for you. Well, when they opened the boot to get my spare up, it was flat. So the first car driver, he just said, well, you know what? You have a Toyota. I have a Mazda. Let's try. I'm sure my tire will fit your car. He tried it. It worked. He said, you take my tire. I'll take your bad car. They lived in Pretoria. The both of them worked together. They helped do maintenance on the radio system that the Rangers worked at Kruger National Park. And within a few minutes, we are back on the road. And I just was like, Lord, you are really amazing. Here is a man that I didn't know. He didn't know me. But God had sent him at just the right time. And it reminded me of that Bible verse. Do you have that slide? Because right now, but that is it, that God is with us. He goes before us. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, from Deuteronomy 31:8. And you know that has been my theme verse for Africa. Because I serve a God who goes before, and he's not leaving me. He's not forsaking me. And whatever situation I'm in, he already knows. He already knows, and this is the God that we serve today. Well, do you know, I have been really privileged in Africa to work in communications and also in education. I've worked with the Jesus Film. Right now, my assignment is in education and clergy development, and we have 9 schools, theological colleges, 2 universities. Southern Africa Nazarene University just was launched in 2010. We consolidated 3 together. And I have prayer cards on the back for you to look at. I would ask you to pray for our schools. There are so many opportunities that are available for your prayers. I also have a prayer card in the back that I'm going to ask you to pray for. And this morning, I was going to talk to you about the theology of Ubuntu in South Africa, but I want to tell you about one of the things. Desmond Tutu, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, he's an Anglican priest, and he was recently on Iconoclast, and he just sat with the videographers, and he said, the message is God loves you. And if you were the only person on earth, God holds you as a precious baby and says, I love you. The best thing God ever did was make you, gave hope to youth around the world. And this message from Tutu is what gives hope to people. But I thought, you know what, this is not the Desmond Tutu message. This is the message of Jesus. This is the message of Jesus himself. And I really wonder about us sometimes as Christians, because we become very shy in our faith. Do you ever feel that way? And I think about that passage where it says in the Bible that if we deny him, he will deny us as well. And I'm just reminded how important it is that we really proclaim our faith. Tell people what we believe. Let people know that Jesus is Lord in our lives. I'm working in education with lots of different schools, but I think one of my greatest privileges has been to be a witness. Do you know that I have been a witness when the first general superintendent from Africa was elected? I have been a witness to those walls of apartheid coming down as we have sat at tables and talked about the issues that face Africa and listened to 2 pastors in the Church of the Nazarene, one an Afrikaans Nazarene, one a black Nazarene, talk about what it meant for them during apartheid. And as they talked, they said, really? You felt that way too? That was the same for you? Really? It was? And they found common ground together. And I am a witness to those barriers coming down. And do you know, right now we are praying for a holiness revival to sweep across Africa. I wanted to just mention to you some of the really huge issues that are facing Africa today. HIV, AIDS, you've heard of it. Polygamy, serial monogamy, ancestor worship, sorcery, witchcraft, divination, demon possession. I will tell you that about a month ago on a Wednesday night at church, we heard the story of a group of kids in Davidsonville on their way to school. There was a plastic bag along the side of the road. The kids stopped. They're young kids. They opened it up. One of the little boys, there was a scarf and some other things, and he put the scarf around his neck. And they're off to school, and all of a sudden he's saying, I'm being choked. And the other kids are saying, oh, you're playing. But he wasn't. Witchcraft right there in that community. It's all over the place, you guys. Darkness. It is dark. The enemy is really trying to destroy God's people and the church. There's this whole things relating to rituals related to death and mourning and burial, spiritual warfare, drugs, substance abuse. We have this whole contrast between prosperity and poverty. I've talked to you already about unemployment and the economic issues. But into all of this, we have a group of African theologians that are sitting and talking about it. Because you see, we as the church are tasked to bring answers. We must bring answers to the people. And do you know, it's really hard for our guys to write because I feel like the darkness really comes against them. We've seen it this morning. And so pray for us in Africa. Pray for us. Our goal is holiness revival. This is what we pray for. Because if we have revival, if the Holy Spirit moves, all of that other stuff will come down. It will come down in the light of God's glory and grace. And when you think about, what about you? How are you involved in all of this? Well, you can pray. And the biggest thing that you can do is pray for us. Prayer changes things. Prayer alters the course of things. And you can go. So many of you are going. And that's just really awesome to see the many places you've gone. Give. This morning you'll have a new opportunity to give. But as I want to close with just one more story, if that's okay, Pastor. Friends of mine are missionaries in Eastern Africa. And they were talking to me about, they had gone upriver in a boat. They were taking the Jesus film to unreached people groups in that part of Africa. And they had docked the boat. They'd gone into the inland, and it was through a jungle area. They had sent the runners had gone out to say that the Jesus film was going to be showing that night in a village, in an open area actually, where they were setting up the film. And my friend was in a tent, and she was praying. And you know how we pray. For God you pray over the equipment that everything will work. You pray that it won't rain so that people will come and the equipment will be fine. You pray that God will send the people that he is talking to. You pray that the hearts of the people will be open to receive the gospel. And she was doing that in her tent. And all of a sudden, she just heard branches breaking, like grass being trampled. And all of a sudden, she heard this little African boy saying, I'm coming, Jesus, wait for me. I'm coming, Jesus, wait for me. And she just stopped. And she said, but they don't speak English here. This was a part of Africa where they only spoke the newer language. And so she asked her husband, "Did you just hear something?" And he repeated the same thing back to her. I want to ask you this morning, what are you hearing in your quiet time before God? Are you hearing the voices of people that are lost who need a Savior? What about your family? What about your friends? What about the kids you go to school with? What about the people you work with? But what are you hearing? It's in those quiet times before God that He allowed them to hear a child saying, "I'm coming, Jesus, wait for me." We believe in the second coming. We believe that Jesus is coming back. And that's why I'm in Africa. That's why we as a church have missions. So that we can be the arms and the hands of God and the voice that speaks the truth of the gospel to a dying world. I'm a privileged person. I thank you so much for your prayers for me and other missionaries around the world. It does make a difference. You know people are praying back home. And you're going to have an opportunity this morning to also look at how you give. And God uses all of that, you know, just like the widow's mite. He can multiply things over and over again. Thank you for just putting up with me today with my voice and all of that. But I hope and I pray that God has spoken to you today, that you have a different glimpse of the world, not just Africa, but even around you. We are living in a needy world that needs a Savior, and we know Him. So that's our commission, to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to baptize, to teach people. And that's what we do. Thank you so much. Can I just pray for you? Father, I want to thank you this morning for the Nixa Church of the Nazarene, for the people here that love you and that are committed to serve you. I pray, Lord, your blessing, your favor upon them. I thank you for the testimonies we've heard this morning of answered prayer in their individual lives. But Father, I believe that there's a dream in this church for all of these pews to be filled. Amen. For young people, for children, for young adults and young families and older people to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in this place. I pray, Lord, that you would use them powerfully to be a light in this community, to be a witness for you, and that people will come and find hope, find strength, find power and grace and salvation through Jesus in this place. Let your blessing and your favor rest upon them, I pray, in the name of Jesus with much thanksgiving. Amen.
We're going to prepare to receive pledges as a conclusion to this service this morning. And just very quickly, several years ago, we moved into doing faith promise giving. The history of the Church of the Nazarene has long been that the Easter and Thanksgiving offerings were the two times in the year to receive special mission offerings, and we still do that, although the churches that are involved in faith promise are far more now, and there's less of probably a hard promotion on that as there was in years past. But just to show you what can be done by spreading things out, as I remember as a young preacher wanting to do something that would lead my church, those kind of things. And so Jennifer and I had talked and prayed and agreed, and on Easter and Thanksgiving offering, we would give $100 in each of those offerings, and we'd give $200 during the course of the year to missions. And back then, that was a large sum of money for us. But just by going to Faith Promise Giving and doing something like even $5 a week, that $200 then immediately became $260, which was, again, half again, almost as much. And was actually less difficult to come up with $5 a week than it was to come up with $100 all at one shot for a young married couple with children. And so let me encourage you to really pray and think as to what God would have you to do and to fill out these white cards. And then we're going to collect them this morning. I'm going to ask a couple of our teens if they will. Let's see, we've picked on some people already this morning. Tyler's ready to go. There he is. He's wide awake and raring to go. And Jeremy, why don't you come and help us this morning? Matter of fact, all of our teens, just any of you that want to, just come here and stand at the front of the church. We're going to let you collect these cards. We're going to take them back to where Sue and Ben are back there. They're going to help us with the count. Brett is going to post it on the screen there as we get them collected. But let's just, again, we appreciate Linda's prayer, just a very brief prayer to indeed do what God would have us to do. And you can mark it weekly or biweekly or monthly, whatever is most convenient for you. If you put your name on the back of it, that's helpful because Sue is the only one who sees those. She records them. And then if you have a question about what you've paid and what you have left to pay, she can answer that for you as the church treasurer. Those records are not given to anyone else. No one else knows about those things. And so that is helpful to keep records for you as well as to count our pledges. The goal you saw in the brochure is a little over $19,000. And God has helped us the last couple of years to go beyond our goal. Our mission giving has gone above what we had committed to. And so we're thankful to you for those willing hearts. So, Janet, where are you at? Do you care to come and hit us with a few notes, something along the line of rescue the perishing or send the light or some of those kind of things that we think of as missionary songs, and we're going to collect. But let's just pray right quick. If God hasn't already given you direction, pray for his wisdom this morning. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to respond to this challenge. Would you guide our hearts and our wallets, Lord, to be in line with what you know we're capable of doing, and what you are capable of doing really is more the truth, Father, because you can do exceedingly and abundantly more than we ask or imagine. And so, Father, just guide us, and may this be a great time of rejoicing as we give to the work of missions. And we pray again your blessing upon Sister Linda Broughton and the work that she does, as well as our other missionaries, in Jesus' name. Amen. So Janet's going to play. You have your cards. If you have your cards completed, just hold them up. The teens will come and grab them, take them back to the back, and we will get indeed a total. Jeremy, I have one here for you if you'd like to take it as you go. Thank you, sir. If you happen to need a card, I have extra cards here. If you didn't have a card, they were in your bulletins. If you'd like a card and need one, then just have the teens come and get one of these. We'll get them to you so that you can fill them out. Some of our folks are away from us today, and so we'll hold this open for a couple weeks and have everybody an opportunity to respond as we pull together our final totals. But we appreciate your obedient response in your faith promise and giving this morning. Technically, the year began on April 1st, and so now we are into this year already and giving through the course into 2014, March 30th. If there are any other cards out there, just hold them up, and the teens will pick those up and get those back to the back where they need to go. We have blanks as well. You may feel like you need more time to pray over this, and that's okay. We'll continue to receive. The cards can be turned in the offering plates, or you can take them directly to Sue if you want that to be a little more confidential, and she'll take care of that and keep us informed in our bulletin then for the next couple of weeks as to the increasing total, and we'll keep you posted as to the way that things are indeed going. Bit of a jump. helping us out this morning. We appreciate that so very, very much. What do you think? That didn't take long. It was painless. And I'm not sure how they do it in Africa, but I know enough about the American black church to know that the black preachers, if they don't get what they want the first go-around, they just pass the plates again. So you have saved yourself some time this morning. But no, thank you so very much. And it's to God be the glory. Great things he's done, and obviously as others have the opportunity to give, it will go even higher. But I promise you, the church that's willing to give to others, God will always take care of. And so we thank you for your mission heart. Let's stand together this morning. Would you like to extend your appreciation just to Sister Linda for her heart and her passion? I don't know too much anybody in the church that has more of a passion about missions than our associate pastor. And so, Pastor Don, I'm going to ask you, if you will, to pray a closing prayer over our Faith Promise Convention and our missionary service today.